thought, well, since we're focusing on Africa, we should worship like they do in Africa. And as you know, not only do the Africans love worshiping, obviously, with their hearts and their voices, but they like to use their bodies. And so some of you who are kind of stiff, that's okay. If you have knee problems, okay, we'll let you off the hook here. But just kind of humor me, and we're going to teach you this very simple song. The main language, or I guess you would say the governmental language of Senegal and a lot of West Africa is French. So this is basically French, and the song is Plus Haut, which means higher, okay? And very easy words, Plus Haut, Plus Haut, Plus Haut, Jésus est plus haut. Jesus is higher, okay? Now, as we lift Jesus up, the second verse is Plus Bas. So flip that over to Plus Bas. Okay, Plus Bas means lower. So as we lift Jesus up, who do we lower? Satan, right. So, Plus Bas, Plus Bas, Satan, Satan, et Plus Bas. Well, the Africans don't just want to put him down. They want to make sure he stays down. So they want to crush him. And so the next verse, the kind of course, écrasé, which means to crush. All right? And so they actually, you know, put their foot down. And so I'll sing through it. I'll sing through it. And then you're going to stand up and you're going to join me, right? Right? All right. Okay. I see some heads going. Very easy. It goes like this. Plus haut, plus haut, plus haut. Jésus est plus haut. Plus haut, plus haut, plus haut. Jésus est plus haut. Plus haut, plus haut, plus haut. Jésus est plus haut. Alléluia. Jésus est plus haut. And plus bas. Plus bas, plus bas, plus bas. Satan est plus bas. Plus bas, plus bas, plus bas. Satan est plus bas. Plus bas, plus bas, plus bas. Satan est plus bas. Alléluia. Satan est plus bas. One part. Écrasé, écrasé. Satan est écrasé, écrasé, écrasé. Satan est écrasé, écrasé, écrasé. Satan est écrasé, écrasé, écrasé. Satan est écrasé. If you're raising the six, yes? If you're raising the 60s, you can do this, all right? All right, you got it? So, plus haut, plus bas, écrasé. All right, and in Africa, usually when the leader gets excited about something, he cries out, Alleluia, and the congregation always responds, Amen. So, Alleluia,
Amen.
Here we go, all right? Plus haut, plus haut, plus haut. Oh, wait, and don't just be stiff. Okay, you get that out. Here we go. Plus haut, plus haut, plus haut. Jésus est plus haut. Plus haut, plus haut, plus haut. Jésus est plus haut. Plus haut, plus haut, plus haut. Jésus est plus haut. Alléluia. Jésus est plus haut. Plus bas. Plus bas, plus bas, plus bas. Satan est plus bas. Plus bas, plus bas, plus bas. Satan est plus bas. Good. Plus bas, plus bas, plus bas. Satan est plus bas, alléluia, Satan est plus bas, écrasé, 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 Satan est 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 écrasé. Once more, plus haut, plus haut, plus haut, plus haut, Jésus est plus haut, plus haut, plus haut. I kind of messed up my mic. Sorry, sound guys. Before I share with you, check, check. Is that good? Hello? Anyway, you can hear me. I have a loud voice. Before I speak, I'd like to show you a video of our kids in action. We've been working with missionary kids for over 39 years. And one of the things that we were responsible for and one of the things that we enjoyed so much was to provide opportunities for the kids to go out in outreach ministries and share the gospel with the villages and towns around Dakar area where we were. And it's just amazing to see not only the energy, but how God was able to use high school kids. I was sharing with your youth this morning just about how God is able to use kids. And sometimes they get away with more than we can get away with. All right, they'll go in there, and there's all kinds of energy. And it's like a 10-ring circus. We go in there, you'll see, medical outreach, puppets, child evangelism, evangelism in the evenings. They have like 10 things going on. Of course, you have to have a team to feed. So Jules in charge of the feeding crew. They make 900 meals over the weekend. Over 130 people at times that we would take out into the bush. And so this will give you just kind of a little glimpse when I talk a little bit about outreach, a little glimpse of what our kids are doing there at Dakar Academy. And then while I'm doing that, I'll fix my mic. So if we could show that. As you can see, it takes a lot of different teams. We always give the water boys a hard time, but basically they're crucial. You can imagine a weekend like that, the water that is consumed by 130 people, and it has to be filtered, so they're pumping that water all the time. Before I share with you, I just want to give a special thanks, especially Connie and Joseph. Wonderful time. Love your house. A time of fellowship. Missions committee. We were out social drinking last night. We did Arabic tea, and that's the kind of a form of social drinking. Thank you. You were good sports. I think everyone slept last night, besides the sugar and caffeine. Good. And after Jill was done sharing with the ladies yesterday at the luncheon, she came. She said, "These are my kind of people. I love these people." And I know there's a fellowship of believers. Okay, we all have that. But I think there's just, a certain chemistry. And so it's been a great week. So thank you, church. Again, thank you as you have supported missions over the years in order to have all of Jesus for all the world. We have to have churches that are out there supporting us and praying for us. So thank you. It's been a great weekend. And we go back with great memories, and hopefully we'll come back and harass you again sometime. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this opportunity we have to worship you. Thank you for this opportunity that I have to share what you are doing and what you have done through young people. We thank you, Lord, for the power of the gospel. And I just pray, Lord, this will be an encouraging time, a challenging time, as we as believers kind of hear some stories and as I reminisce about your goodness and your power. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 1:16 says this, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." Ephesians 3:20, "Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, to him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen." 2 Timothy 1:7, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." 1 Thessalonians 1:5, "For our gospel did not come to you in word only, but also in power." This morning, I would like to just share some experience that God has used in my life over the years to show me the power of the gospel. There's two passions that my wife and I have shared. And one has been to be instruments used by God in helping young people develop intimacy with Jesus. And the second passion is providing opportunities for young people to experience the power of the gospel in them and through them. And by the way, there is another couple here that has also shared that goal. And I just wanted to just introduce them really quickly. They ministered with us, and they're living up in near Bonifay, and they decided to come down and join us. But David and Michelle, could you guys stand up? These are our African family here. They were dorm parents, and then David ministered. Well, we ministered together in spiritual formation. He was the student chaplain. And we go back many years. I know it doesn't look like it, but we do. I like to preach through stories, so you're going to be hearing a lot of stories. And again, I would like you to humor me. I think we already got a good start, but there's going to be some stories that I'm going to think, wow, this is great, and what am I going to say? I'm going to say hallelujah, and what are you going to say? Amen. Now, a few years back, I remember... quite a few years ago, I was preaching, and I just got overwhelmed by the power of the gospel, and I said to the kids, you know, sometimes we say, "and all the people said," and a lot of times we all respond, "amen." But I said, sometimes I get so overwhelmed that amen seems weak. And so I said, sometimes you feel like going, "wow." So a few times I'd say, "and all the people said," and the kids would go, "wow." Well, a few times we had some special speakers that would come, you know, and they would get wrapped up and say, "and all God's people said," and the kids would go, "wow," and they kind of go, I don't know if wow is a biblical word or not. It's funny because we did that when we were missionaries in the Ivory Coast. We came to Senegal, unbeknownst to us, but one of the main languages there, Wolof, wow means yes. Pretty cool, huh? Wow. The power of the gospel. First of all, the power of the gospel in times of weakness. You know, 2 Corinthians 12:9, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I remember this was back in Côte d'Ivoire, and we actually, before we went on one of these outreaches, we actually trained three of our high school boys to preach in French. And so we had different staff members and missionaries working with these guys to put their outline together, you know, making sure it was ready to go. And I remember we had been really going to several villages on a Saturday on the outreach, and we pulled up to this one village. It was like 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and I know the kids were exhausted because we were in the bus, and I looked down the aisle and it looked like rigor mortis alley. And I said, here we are, we're going to be proclaiming life in Jesus, and we look like death warmed over. I said, you guys, we need to pray. And they said, yeah, we do. We're known as Uncle Evan and Angel. We do, Uncle Evan. So we had a time of prayer in the bus. And I thought, okay, good. And they seemed revived. We're getting off the bus. And all of a sudden, the young man that was supposed to preach at that village, Kurt, comes up to me and said, Uncle Evan, I got to talk to you. I said, what? He said, I think the Lord is leading me a different way. I said, what do you mean? You mean that message you've been working on now for weeks and weeks and weeks and months, you're not going to give it? He said, I want to give it. I'm ready to go. But he said, I just feel that the Lord wants me to go a different route. I said, make sure it's the Lord. Okay, make sure it's the Holy Spirit. But if that's really what you feel the Holy Spirit is leading, you go with the Holy Spirit. He said, okay, I know. But please be praying for me. I said, I will. So I shared on Friday night how this started. So we go into this village. We're tired. We're a little bit reinvigorated now. Kirk's not real sure what's going on, but he's asking the Lord to lead him. And then we get there, usually started with the puppets. But we were so far out, like I said on Friday, so far out in the bush that some of these kids had never seen a puppet. So when that first puppet popped up like that, there were these kids in the front just went, ah! And they're starting to run, and quickly we gather them back together, and we said, look, 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 you know, and they brought them out like this, you know, showed them all. Finally got them settled. So the puppets did their thing, and then Kurt got up, high school boy. And he went the way that the Lord told him to go. And at the end, they gave an invitation, and 30 people prayed for salvation. 30 people. Hallelujah. All God's people said. Wow. Kurt came up to me and said, you know, Uncle Evan, he said, I was planning after high school to go maybe into a diplomatic corps or something overseas. He said, I didn't think the Lord could use me like this. He said, I realize God can use me. He said, I'm going to go back and I'm going to prepare for the mission field. Went back to the States, married this beautiful young lady, went out to Uganda as missionaries, and now missionaries in Uganda. Power of the gospel in times of weakness. The power of the gospel to change lives, to totally change lives. Another outreach, this was when we were in the Ivory Coast, and we went into this village. And again, we work with the national church, obviously. You know, they're the ones that do the follow-up. We're kind of the dog and pony show, really. You know, we get there and you see, you know, 100 and, you know, or 80 kids get up there and everyone comes out of the, what's going on here? We also have a sound system. And out in the village, all of a sudden they hear, you know, the sound. In fact, there's one time this guy prayed for salvation that wasn't even at the meeting. So advantage to have a sound system, you know. So... So anyway, we work at the National Church, and so these two young men from the National Church get up, and the first guy, they always translate, usually from the local dialect, whatever it is, and they always translate it into French. So there's usually two people up speaking all the time. So this one guy gets up, and he says to the villagers, you all know me. And everyone just starts cracking up. Whoa. Everyone just starts cracking up. Just laughing and laughing and laughing. And so I went over to the missionary and I said, what's going on here? What's so funny? He said, well, you won't believe this. But he said, see that guy that's sharing his testimony? I said, yeah. He said, he's a former crazy man. He lived in the jungle outside the village and just roamed around like an animal. Now, I don't know who shared the gospel with him, but God only not only redeemed his heart, but he redeemed his mind. That's kind of crazy in itself. Right next to him is the guy that's translating. He's a former gangbanger of the capital city of Abidjan, and he grew up in a life of crime. The Lord saved him, and so here you have a crazy man and a gangbanger, and they're presenting Jesus Christ loud and clear. Amen? All God's people said. Power of the gospel to change lives. 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come. Power of the gospel to set prisoners free. We had a ministry at the prison. And I remember when I first went to this prison, that there were like seven men that were dying every week of starvation. I was sharing this with the young people. And our kids got involved and began a feeding project. They began sending out bucketfuls of mangoes. We had mango trees all around our property. The high school guys started going in there doing Bible studies. But I remember at one point, kind of the culmination is that we were able to go in there, our building guys, and build a church in the prison grounds. Now, it was open-sided. And one of the humorous things about that, we were going to be leading worship that morning, and there's really nothing else for the prisoners to do. So there's a handful of prisoners worshiping, and then the rest of the prisoners, they're just watching it. And we had this clothes drive where we would send clothes to the women's prison, and we also send clothes to the men's prison. And the clothes boxes must have gotten mixed up. Because I remember I'm sitting there and I said, honey, do you see what I see? She said, yes. And here's this guy leaning up against this tree. And my wife had just been pregnant and had gotten rid of her maternity outfits. And he's wearing this long t-shirt that says baby with an arrow pointing down his stomach. And he's up there, this hardened criminal, baby. But we saw that church in the prison grow and grow and grow. And at one point, the prisoners asked if I would be willing to come out for their baptismal service. Wow, what a treat. I remember going through security, and as I was going through security, I could hear this music, these voices, hundreds of men just singing at the top of their lungs. Finally, easy to find out where they were meeting. And of course, they were outside, and there were so many of them. And of course, nothing else to do. All the other prisoners were watching them. So as I came in and sat down, I noticed this one prisoner. He had sores all over his body. He was missing a limb. And here he is in this miserable prison, but he was slapping that stub into his hand, and he was just singing at the top of his lungs. And I was just infatuated. I just sat there, just that aura about him. And the missionary said, hey, you see that guy there? I said, I can't take my eyes off him. Well, yeah, what's the story there? He said, this guy is the pillar of the church here. He is bringing man after man to the Lord. And he said he just loves Jesus so much. And I thought to myself, wow, you know, here he is in miserable prison condition, sores all over his body, missing a limb. But that is one of the freest men I've ever seen. His soul was just soaring in the heavenlies, the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Power of the gospel to set prisoners free. Luke 4:18, Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recover of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free. Power of the gospel to deliver from demonic influences. Now, here in the States, the demonic really isn't as blatant or visible. I think it's more and more, I think we're seeing that. But in Africa, it's where they live. And David can attest to this. Our last outreach, the one you saw here, was to a village called Suchien. And I remember, first of all, the way that the church started there was amazing. The first convert there, in fact, the missionary that we worked with there was a African missionary from Cameroon, and we joined him. Our kids joined him for this evangelism weekend. But the main man there that was the first believer in that village was a guy named Jean Jop, who was the town drunk, the alcoholic. And he heard the gospel, totally transformed. So he was the one that really organized all these things. Jean Jop was there just organizing all these things. Well, I remember the last service. In fact, even before that, for some reason, we never had seen the demonic be more active than we were that weekend. Even during the day, we had medical, our medical team was seeing some things happening, and David was there with the prayer team and saw the Lord deliver through prayer. And we had this the big campaign like you saw at night. And of course, there was a lot of celebration. You see, they love to dance. In fact, it's amazing. Usually after we're done with the worshiping, it's just dust all over the place, kicking up dust. But at the end, one of the African pastors or lay pastors got up and preached and gave an invitation, and tons of people came forward. And there was just a sweet time where he was praying, and the people were taking it all in, and all of a sudden, right in front of this lady, this demonic being started manifesting, screaming and rolling around on the ground. You know, it's amazing. The Africans know the power of the gospel. And it just went over calmly, prayed for her. All of a sudden, to the left side, two more ladies began manifesting, screaming, yelling. Again, there was, the enemy was trying to reveal himself, and yet the power of the gospel was just seen as they were prayed for and released and free. Now, we have a variety of missions at the school. And I remember David came to me and saying, wow, a lot of our outreaches, that really hasn't happened. Some of these kids whose parents work in the bush see it all the time. But some of these kids, you know, parents work in the city, this was something like, what do we do here? So David said, we got to probably debrief with the kids. So I basically said to the kids, you know, this weekend, our focus is on Jesus. But the enemy wants to get us off course, wants to distract us. And we need to continue to look at what we need to be looking at, focusing at, and that's on Jesus Christ. Forget about these little side roads here. So that seemed to suffice. Well, we have this testimony meeting when we get back to the campus, and I'm thinking, okay, hopefully this won't be mentioned. First thing, it's mentioned. And I'm wondering how it's going to go. Finally, it was beautiful. This senior gets up at the very end of the testimony meeting. And he's talking about, because I guess two of the ladies that manifested was right beside him. And he said, you know, we saw this happen, and then we saw the believers come over and pray for them. And he said it was something. He said, after they got done praying for them, out of nowhere, he said, we see this pig go running past and into the darkness. And he said, you know what I'm thinking. And then he said this. He said, you know, you could say, explain different things that happened this weekend, but he said, all I know is that a lot of people got free. The power of the gospel over demonic influences. As you go, Jesus says, proclaim this message. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Wow, I'd love to do that. Cleanse those who have leprosy. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Also, and I know some of you heard this story, but I'm going to share it again. The power of the gospel to heal. We had this group called the Walk and Talk Guys. And Jules shared with some of you. And these guys would just go out into the streets and take advantage of all the different opportunities. You would sometimes come around the corner and you would see several of these guys and girls with their hand on Senegalese praying for them. And God did all kinds of stuff in them and through them. But this whole area of healing happened with a young man named Kent. And I met with the guys every Sunday afternoon, and we would debrief stuff, and they said, "Oh, Uncle Evan, you won't believe what happened this weekend." So what happened? Kent said, "Well, you know, we got together for a walk and talk, and we went out into the streets," and he said, "I was struggling with doubt. And just saying, God, what's the matter? I'm struggling with doubt, and I really need you to reveal yourself to me. I reveal your power in me and through me." And he's walking, and all of a sudden he sees this lady across the road, and she's keeled over and grabbing her stomach. And he runs over to see if she's okay, and he hears himself say, "Can I pray for you?" She said, "Yes." He said, "Well, I'm going to pray in Jesus' name. Is that okay if I pray in Jesus' name?" She said, "Yes." And so he prayed for her, and when he got done praying for her, she sits up and she says, "It's gone. The pain is gone." Well, now he's getting pretty confident, you know. "Amen," you know. And she said, "Would you pray for my husband?" "Yeah, I'll pray for your husband." You know, he's feeling pretty good. She said, "Okay, one sec, I'll be right back." She goes and begins leading a blind man around the corner. Kent said, it just kind of went, "Whoa." I was laughing. I said, "Kent, tell me the truth. You probably felt like saying, I do headaches and stomach aches. I don't do blind." But he said, that wasn't his doing. Basically, you know, that's up to the Lord. And so he came over and he said that the blind man just had that faraway stare. So Kent put his arms on him and he just said, "Lord, this isn't about me. This is about you. And so you just reveal yourself. You know, I can't do anything. I'm weak. But you just reveal your glory in this man. And I just pray, Lord, would you heal him?" And he said, again, the man was just staring. And all of a sudden, when he asked God to heal him, the man just blinked and then looked Kent in the eye. And then he looked up to heaven and tears began rolling down his face. And he said, "Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. All God's people said." And I mentioned this on Friday, but one more. The power of the gospel to change a culture. Just briefly, I have a whole presentation on this. Sometime maybe come back and show you. But my parents were missionaries in Vietnam. And they worked with a very resistant tribe called the Jurai. And they worked for over 20 years. They worked with a pastor named Gahao. And Gahao had just a passion to see his people come to know Jesus. And Gahao would preach in the town church, and then he would go out into the bush and preach. This was during the Vietnam War. The Viet Cong came in and said, "You need to stop preaching." But Gahao couldn't stop. He would preach in the town church, go out into the village. Sure enough, one night, the Viet Cong came to this village that he was ministering, said, "Where's Gahao?" They found him. They took him out. They made him dig his own grave. And then point blank shot him. Dad said before Gahao was killed, he was walking by the church at one point, and he said that he could hear Gahao at the altar. And Gahao was saying, "You know what? I see what you're doing with the Gaha tribe up in the Dalat region, and revival's taking place. I can see what you're doing over here next door with the Rade tribe. They're like our sister tribe, and there is people, churches being built, people coming to know you." And he called out, "Why not the Jurai?" Then he was killed. Mom and Dad began working with another pastor and his wife and family, and we fell in love with them. He had the same passion, preach in the town church, go out in the bush. Dad got word from the military that they found his body beside his little mobilette. He'd been ambushed by the Viet Cong. Dad was able to be part of the funeral service when they buried him. Mom and Dad buried, some of you older folks remember the Tet Offensive when our missionaries were killed in Pamituat. Dad went and buried them. And then they left Vietnam, wondering what in the world. Over 20 years and really not seeing the fruit they wanted to see. 2016, I was able to go back for the first time in about 50 years since I graduated from high school to go back. And I was able to get into our area. And I remember I wanted to see what was happening among the resistant Jurai. This was just after Christmas. And so we're going down the road, and we're passing really the longhouse after longhouse. They still live in longhouses up in the air. Instead of seeing fetishes on their porches, I'm seeing nativity scene after nativity scene. And I said to our guide, what is the main religion among the Jirai? And he didn't even hesitate. He said, Dinlan. Dinlan means good news. And it's not only the name of the Protestant church, of a Protestant church, it's the name of the Christian Missionary Alliance Church in Vietnam. And I said, wow. You know, he didn't really obviously know percentage or whatever, but I have a good friend of mine that I went from first to 12th grade with, and he's back out in Southeast Asia, and he's doing a historical study on the church in Vietnam. And I said, Fitz, what is the estimate now among the Jirai, that tribe that used to be very resistant to the gospel? He said, it's been estimated that 80% are believers. Hallelujah. Wow, absolutely. Okay, now, fast forward. We just had done one of these outreach weekends. We were meeting in the church, and we were celebrating with the believers there. And it's funny because the church, they would have a sound system facing, you know, out towards the people, and then they put a big speaker outside the church facing towards the village. So we're there, and I remember the pastor gets up, Senegalese pastor, and he said, you know, sometimes I come before God, and I say, you know what, God? I look what you're doing in Burkina Faso, and your Holy Spirit is just sweeping across that nation, and we see church after church. And then Côte d'Ivoire is on fire. They're sending missionaries out. And he said, I just stand before God, and I kneel before God, really, and I just cry out, why not Senegal? And I said, Jewel, did you hear that? She said, yeah, why not Senegal? And I told her the story. I said, really, almost basically, that's what Gahau said, just with a few differences in there. He said, why not the Jirai? And I said, you know what? If he can do it with the Jirai, he can do it in Senegal, 96% Muslim. You see, all of Jesus for all the world, it seems daunting. But we have the power of the gospel. We have the power of the gospel. Just in closing, one of my old dorm parents when I was in Vietnam came and he said, I just got back from Vietnam and what an experience. And he said that he was heard about this pastor, this Vietnamese pastor that was thrown in prison because of his walk with Jesus Christ, because of his commitment to Jesus. He was thrown into prison. And he said he was thrown into solitary confinement. And he said, you know what? While he was in solitary confinement, he led 8 prisoners to the Lord. I said, wait! Solitary confinement, what's that mean? You're by yourself. So what, the guards give them a PA system, you know, testing 1, 2, 3. He said, no, the Lord kind of did. I said, what do you mean? He said, well, here he is in his cell. He could have said, you know, I'm here because of my commitment to Jesus. I'm in solitary confinement. There's nothing that I can do. But he's thinking, as I shared with the young people, there's an opportunity here somewhere. And he looks around and his eyes fall on the toilet. And he realized there's an open sewer system. And that if he got on his hands and knees and preached into his toilet, that would go down and come up other prisoners' toilets. Can you imagine the first time he's checking it out, you're in cell block C, you know, like this. And, hey, anybody there? But that pastor got down on his hands and knees and he preached into his toilet. And the other prisoners got down on their hands and knees and they listened into their toilet. And 8 people came into the kingdom. Hallelujah. You know, I love to tell that to, you know, teenagers, you know, potty humor. But I say, if God can use a toilet, he can use you. But it's true, because we have the power of the gospel. In closing, let me read 2 Timothy 3:1-5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Listen to this. And then having a form of godliness, but denying its power. all have a form of godliness, right? But we can deny its power. So I encourage you, we have a message to share. It's a message of hope, of joy, of peace, of freedom, of transformation, healing, victory over darkness, and intimacy with Almighty God. It's the gospel. And so I encourage you, go out and proclaim this life-giving, powerful gospel. Alleluia. Amen. Alleluia. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I need to be reminded of this all the time. Seems like when I'm faced with challenges, it's like, what can I do? What can I do? I can't do anything. But Lord, your word, your gospel, your message is living and active. And your Holy Spirit works in us and through us as we live out that gospel. The powerful gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you for this time we've had, Lord. And may we leave here this morning both challenged and encouraged because that gospel, we live out the gospel in us. Thank you. Thank you for Jesus. I pray all these things in that beautiful, powerful, glorious name of Jesus Christ.